I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How we then start away. Hi gang, welcome to the preview show sponsored by Betway on Football Ramble Daily. England got themselves over the line with a 7-0 win. Wales still have work to do, and can Northern Ireland create a miracle? Hello from me. Hello from Luke Moore.
Hello.
Hello from Jim Campbell.
Hello.
Pete's off to Helsinki.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not via Milwaukee. He's come back first.
Yeah.
Again,
who knows what those...
We don't know why.
Goes through the mind of a maniac like that.
Well, surely he's off to celebrate England qualifying for the Euros.
In Helsinki, yeah.
Yeah.
Does that make sense or not make sense for Pete? I can't tell.
I saw an amazing sign at Helsinki that someone shared. I don't know. It's probably from a couple of years ago, but it's like a big banner on the border that says, "No one in their right mind comes to Finland in November, except you, you badass. Welcome."
Is that right?
That's quite a great. Nice touch.
Well, yeah. I tell you what, if Finland, I think it's tonight, isn't it? They play Liechtenstein.
Yeah, that's their game. Next game, yeah.
Yeah, and if they win, then they'll qualify for a major tournament for the first time. That's why Pete's gone there.
What a celebration!
Yeah. Does Pete know that, do you think? Yeah.
Maybe Pete could have told us in advance, and then we could have done some sort of kind of feature from there. But yeah.
Nah.
Probably just have to hear about it next week.
Yeah. We'll have to tell him about it next week.
Yeah,
I think that's what he's done. He's gone over there and maybe he's a little bit of wise counsel as an English football fan. We've seen our country qualify many times.
We should do this again. We should do this again and say, by the way, Pete's not here because he's on location in Finland.
Yeah. Quite possibly. Well, he'll be back on Monday.
We think.
Possibly.
How was the show on Friday? Yeah, it was good, actually. Yeah, Pete was in Finland. What, on the phone? Nah.
Yeah. He's in Djibouti now.
Yeah.
Why is that? He refuses to say.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, back at home, Jim, England beat Montenegro 7-0.
Didn't they?
They got themselves...
You're still celebrating
line,
now? You come straight from the celebrations, have you?
I was there. Of course I was there.
You know, you saw it.
Easy peasy for those three Lions on the 1,000th match. It was an interesting thing, wasn't it? Yeah. This whole sort of 1,000 games England have played.
I feel like they played 1,000 games under Fabio Capello.
Yeah. Who's got the highest win ratio of any England manager, by the way?
Yeah,
it's weird.
Marcus, disrespectful from Jim. Feel free to come in on that.
I think that when they talked about those 1,000 games, I thought to myself, and I feel like I've seen the vast majority of them, you know?
Yeah. Mm.
Gordon Bennett. But what a way to do it, eh? And England are there, of course. But, I mean...
It was pretty much perfect, wasn't it? Realistically.
Well, yes. I mean, it's funny, actually, because Southgate mentioned a couple of chances that Montenegro created, and Jordan Pickford
made a lovely save.
And a one-on-one.
So that's what I mean when I say it was perfect. Like, you want a bit of confidence in your goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. He gave us that. obviously a clean sheet. Mm-hmm. I know it's Montenegro, but still, it's England teams in the past have still shipped silly goals. Mm-hmm. Harry Winks' pass completion was absurd, really, really high. Obviously, you've got a hat-trick for Kane. Rashford comes in, he scores, that shows you've got another option. Ben Chilwell with a hat-trick of assists.
Yeah.
It was just great all over the pitch.
Joe Gomez got a little bit of boon.
Yeah, that was perhaps, you know...
Imagine the absolute state of people who are booing Joe Gomez.
Imagine.
Don't need to imagine it because you sat next to one.
I'm only joking. Yeah, God. It was a nonsense. It was a weird one. I think it was more people... I hope so, that it was more people sort of being a bit cheeky and silly. But whatever it was...
Well, Raheem didn't seem to think it was so.
No, and absolutely came out defending him. No. But
I also like that Gareth Southgate... is getting this kind of almost headmaster-like air, isn't he? Where it's like he's telling off the school for like letting the school down.
Yes.
Mm. There'll be an assembly before the next England
game. That happens to me a lot.
The Wembley assembly.
That happens to my school a lot. I found the... I mean, it's probably a little bit old hat to talk about the incident itself.
I know what you mean.
Very briefly to brush over it. My position on it, I felt a bit like... Because we haven't had a chance to talk about it, really.
No.
Us three, anyway. If it was all possible to be kept in house, I like passionately feel like it should have been kept in house.
Yeah.
But I suspect probably happened is it's been leaked.
Yes,
and they've had to try and own a narrative.
I think that's exactly
it.
What's happened.
And in which case, you can't really argue with it. Mm. But I thought the booing of Gomez was. I mean,
it wasn't.
It's a very generous interpretation from you, and I understand why. And you were at the game, so it probably sounded worse on TV than it was in the stadium.
I think it did.
But the fact that it happened at all was terrible.
Yeah, I honestly don't think, because when you go to Wembley these days, it's a lot of. The family, school kids, tourists, you know, that kind of thing. It's a relaxed atmosphere.
Mm. They're not all pros like you, mate.
not at all.
So you're saying it's got a lot worse?
It took me
like you can't be yourself anymore.
It took me a long time to get some of those people to boo. Yeah. Do you know what, actually? It took until 75 minutes for the first Mexican wave.
Yeah, I saw it on telly.
Which was just quite a long time, actually.
Yeah.
Slightly disappointed, if I'm honest.
I mean, I think that Montenegro are abysmal. And yes. I mean, you haven't even got to look at their record to see that. If you've ever watched a game of football before in your life,
they really were poor.
You could see how poor they were. They were like 2-3 yards off the pace. They didn't even
lacked any intensity.
They didn't have any kind of passion for to try and go out and get something out of the game.
The own goal was a great example of that, wasn't it? It was one of those own goals where it's clearly your fault, mate, and the first thing to do is just scream at everyone around you.
But you find players do that all the time. Mustafi does that all the time.
He certainly does. But when given the chance.
I think if you go away to England at Wembley and you know what you're going to try and do, and if you concede a couple of goals in the first 20 minutes, mm-hmm. I am sympathetic to the idea that there's not really much you can do about that.
A country with not even 700,000 people there.
Quite. But they've had some reasonable success in the past. They've got some good players. Well, I know they weren't available.
At least a point off England before. Okay, a couple. In fact, I think they went to Wembley, didn't they, and drew 0-0 in a previous...
In one of those 3 million games under...
Well, that was the thing. Was, I think it might have been under Hodgson, was it? But Southgate did make a fair point, although it's difficult to say that those types of games that England would play, and sometimes they would draw at home with Macedonia or Montenegro or something like that, because those games can happen. And also with a side like Montenegro, they will go in sort of generations. When you have a population that small, they produce, say, two or three decent players, then it can inspire a squad and they get a few results. And they were close, you know, they drew 2-2 at home with England a few tournaments ago, qualifying or a couple of tournaments ago, and they were, I think, did they get into the playoffs? So they were round about there. So but it'll go in waves, those kind of teams, and obviously they're not that great at the moment. But Southgate said these types of games, England have smashed teams. Now, they did lose in the Czech Republic.
Well, I actually think that might be a positive, given that they've got back on track so sort of spectacularly, because it's a little warning shot that things need to be
tried. England used to have real trouble breaking teams down at home, because they would...
Even the poorest.
They wouldn't move the ball quick enough. We used to sit in it every week and play and talk about how they play with no tempo. Now they do play with a really good tempo. So if you could think, like, there's many things that Gareth Southgate has brought to this England team, but one that really stands out for me is the fact that he's got them playing with tempo. Mm-hmm. And he's done that by essentially complete overhauling how they play, but also picking younger, faster players. I mean, that was the youngest squad since 1959, I think, and it's England's biggest win since the 80s at home at Wembley, I think.
I think as well, a really great thing about what we're seeing is that he's overhauled the squad in the context of his own tenure, even. This is a very different squad from the World Cup squad.
Oh, it is.
You know, which is, it will be 2 years ago by the time the Euro
starts. Is it only one of these players in the squad started his first game in charge? I think it was Henderson.
Is that right?
I don't think anyone else was involved at all. I think. So, yeah, it's definitely done. He's definitely been able to do that. He's definitely been flexible with his selection, but also maintaining a kind of thread.
Yeah.
Because he gave Maddison a debut last night, didn't he? He's given Tomori. Has he given Tomori a debut yet? He's definitely picked him in the squad.
Yeah.
So he's clearly quite adept at bringing new players in. I mean, you look at Mason Mount, started the game. Really, unless you're a pervert for it, you didn't really know who Mason Mount was this time last year. He's playing, unless you're a Championship fan.
Cool. Yeah.
The season before that, when he was at Vitesse, you certainly wouldn't know who he was.
No, you're
so
right.
So it's been a rapid rise for some of these players.
Absolutely. Well, Tammy Abraham, it was great to see him get his first goal for England.
Absolutely. It felt a bit weird to read that was his first goal.
I know what you mean.
Because he scored a lot this season and he's been around for a while.
Yeah, slightly different to Mount, as you say, because he's been perhaps in the... in more Premier League fans' mind's eyes.
But again, that's a great option for Southgate. And that bench is starting to look really strong as well. I mean, we're at a point where, you know, the Euros are coming up. The semis and the final are at Wembley. The team are playing well. No, I'm looking you in the eye for a good reason here, mate. It could happen, Marcus, couldn't it?
I'm afraid that Roy Keane is right.
Yeah?
What did he say?
That England's defence is lacking in the midfield. And I should say this, that I was sat... I don't know, half a dozen rows like in front of the ITV box last night. So if like Roy Keane was just sort of behind me.
Not what you want.
I could feel his gaze. I couldn't relax, if I'm honest. Even at 5-0.
No.
Just having Roy just behind me sort of thing. I thought to myself, if I turn round, I think he'll look at me and tell me how much he hates me.
That you're a bollocks.
But I think that's the thing, is that England... We can talk about that attacking intent, and that really is something. But you know, the loss against Czech Republic away, I think, could be a blessing rather than a curse.
Yes.
It just keeps you on your toes. But also, we saw against the Dutch in the UEFA Nations League, and I think you know, I think the good thing about England now is that, say, take Euro 2016, when England drew with Russia, they just beat Wales, who of course had a much better tournament in England, and they drew with Slovakia, and of course they lost to Iceland. Now this side, if they had that selection of teams in front of them, you'd be much more confident now.
Definitely.
But if you then play a France or a Netherlands and so on, when you begin. But to be honest with you, I think even if the defence was solid, you're still talking about the best side.
Well, I wonder anyway if... This defensive issue, which I think is there, and we saw it against Kosovo, we saw it against Czech Republic, and we'll probably see it again. I mean, there's not that many games between now and the tournament scheduled, so I don't know how often we'll see it. I don't have the games that they've got lined up in front of me, but it might just be a consequence of how England want to play.
Yeah.
If England are a young, fast, risk-taking team, now, they're not a chokehold, the life out of everyone, Spain 2010 type team.
No.
And they're not a kind of...
I wish they were.
Yeah, but they're not kind of ruthlessly... But do you remember when Spain were that good, and it was kind of an echo of the Barcelona team of the same era, a lot of people would say they're quite boring.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I don't like watching it.
It's all 1-0s in 2010.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So England don't play like that. They're a risk-taking young team, as I've said. And so that might just be a consequence of that. It might just be that what needs to happen is England just simply need to be better. They might win a game 3-2. Mm-hmm. They might win a knockout game. If they mature at the rate they're maturing at the moment and they improve at the rate they're improving, they might win a semi-final 3-2. But, I mean, there are plenty of teams down the years in a World Cup or a Euros who've gone through classic games and won them. Like, England beat Cameroon 3-2 famously in 1990. That was an amazing game. Mm. England pulled it out the fire. But it was a consequence of how they play.
Yeah.
And so I think there might be an element to it that we're just going to have to hold on by the seat of our pants and just get on with it.
Which
because we ain't going to become this ruthless machine where we're not going to concede any goals, because our team, if you look at it, I mean, Alexander Arnold is great, but I think he's got positional problems. Like, defensively, he's not as good as he is going forward. John Stones has got a mistake in him. Harry Maguire's pretty solid, but he's playing on a team which is all over the place. And Ben Chilwell isn't the finished article either, although he's very good. Pickford likes to get the rave on. You're not going to... He does. What has Pickford been picked for?
Clean sheet last night. Have a bit of respect.
Absolutely. But a couple of years ago, and he's head and shoulders now, but a couple of years ago, no one knew who he was going to pick. And Southgate ended up explaining his decision to pick Pickford because of his distribution.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But it wasn't because he was an amazing Alisson or an Edison or a top level on form De Gea. Yeah. He isn't any of those.
Do you think it's because of his name? Who's that? Pickford.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. Great.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
You do look at Jordan Pickford and think, has he been to bed?
But yeah. What, since the World Cup?
But I still think it's, you know, it's he's the right option there.
It's,
and that save was excellent. Yeah, I feel like he's better for England.
He is. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And I think also we're in the level of team, the sort of quality of team we are now, touch wood, and, you know, there's going to be Scottish fans listening and other fans of other nations listening, rolling their eyes by saying this. England are probably going to be a team, you know, that when it gets to the tournament itself, they are going to brush aside teams in the group stage, probably. Well, they are, and they're probably going to get through to the quarter, and then they might. And then it really is just open.
Whoever you get.
Yeah, because
people, all three games in the group are at Wembley as well.
Exactly. So I mean, you can't see that not being
huge,
beneficial.
Huge, and dare I say, unfair advantage.
Well, it's part of the bidding process. Yeah. I mean, the other thing I was just going to quickly say was, what there then be is a part of the conversation. And once you're a part of the conversation, anything's possible. It's just how it is.
Well, also, if you look at some of the other sides around the continent, you know, it's not a great Germany side. It's not a great Italy side. Mm. I know those teams usually turn it on in tournaments, but
they've vastly improved Italy, though. They're kind of in a similar position to England.
Italy, yeah, are actually. Yeah. That's, I mean, they've qualified very, very well. I know Germany, the last World Cup, obviously, were pretty poor, but you would think that would be an anomaly, you know.
Yeah.
But I do think that midfield three is going to be crucial. Because you talk about the defence, but Winks in front of the back four, his passing was excellent, as you say, Jim, and he certainly brings something that I don't think any other English player can bring. There's chat about, well, perhaps maybe Declan Rice, but I think we're not sure about Declan Rice at that level yet, certainly defensively. He's got a lot. I mean, that's no criticism of him, that's just observation, because he's a great young player and he's got a lot to learn, as we all do, quite frankly, Jim.
I'm certainly not the finished article.
Oxlade-Chamberlain getting his goal. Southgate said he would have probably been a starter in the World Cup. So I think Oxlade-Chamberlain is a huge plus. And in that other sort of, those sort of two Shuttler or Scuttler positions, however you want to call it, you'd think him in there, Henderson's to come back. I mean, having Mount or Maddison in one of those roles is very attacking. And I think against better sides, you might have to think about a Henderson or even a Delph. I know people might not think that's particularly attractive.
Yeah, that might even be where Rice comes back into the picture.
Well, he wouldn't be in one of those sort of...
It's Rice or
no,
Winks,
I mean,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, he won't
really
do
it.
Rice or Winks will be in front of the back four in that system he sort of plays.
You touched on this earlier, Marcus, briefly.
Yes.
I think one of the things that is another reason to be positive as well, as you say, like, you know, if England were playing a France or a whoever, you know, you're going to be a bit worried defensively. But unless you actually are France, so is anyone. You know?
No, well, that was I did sort of counter up my own point. You're right. Whenever you play any of the big sides, whether it's...
They're always going to be other good teams in the world. That's
exactly.
That's just how
exactly.
It is, unfortunately.
Yeah. No. Yeah, with great regret.
Yeah.
But what about Harry Kane? 31 goals in 44 games for England. Jimmy Greaves-esque.
Yeah.
It's actually a phenomenal record.
It genuinely is. And we've seen the resurgence of kind of amazing ratio goal scorers in football now in a way that I don't think we ever predicted we'd see.
No.
I remember, because I'm older than probably just about everyone listening, I remember... It was all the records, all the goal scoring records were held by like interwar players
Gerd Müller,
or very late.
Dixie Dean.
Yeah, like, those kind of players. And now it seems like everything's being almost kind of turned on its head again. And the art of kind of goal scoring at really big rates is back. I mean, if you look at Kane over the last three calendar years, 7 goals in 2017, 8 goals in 2018, and 11 goals in 2019. Consistently good for England, despite what's been happening recently at Spurs.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the thing with Kane that gives me a lot of confidence for the Euros as well is that he makes a half chance look like a chance. He's very, very good. He's so quick with his feet. His hat-trick goal was a great example of that. The way he sort of cushioned it down, swiveled, and then shot low into the ground to the point where you only saw that he'd even done that on the replay. Like this, it looks such a simple finish, but there are so many different phases to that, and he's just done it almost instinctually. And yeah, I think
Montenegro helped him though.
Oh, they absolutely did, without question. But the thing is, you know, you give him a bit of space, and he can do more with that space and that time than a lot of strikers in world football, really.
Yeah, no, you are right. I mean, going back to those midfield thing, Barkley was out injured. He's one who's sort of been in contention there, and obviously Henderson was suspended for Montenegro. I mean, England, you know, previously won 6-0 in Bulgaria. They win 7-0 there. They lost to the Czech Republic. I mean, you think about it, though. They lost to the Czech Republic and then 5-3 they won at home against Kosovo. And Kosovo seemed to be a better side at the moment than Montenegro. The group standings would very much back that up. But still, though, I mean, 13 goals, you know, because normally you would dish that kind of punishment out to people like San Marino or teams like
England
San Marino.
England are the top scorers in the qualification process. So, I mean, that speaks for itself, I think.
Well, they're away to Kosovo on Sunday.
Rwanda, of course, and Kosovo, I think, are guaranteed playoffs, or they're certainly challenging for playoffs, but they're guaranteed,
I think, yeah.
Right, so, but Kosovo, you know, no mugs, of course, and
they gave England a real scare.
Well, they did, yeah, so they'll want to be out.
Luckily,
the
England were able to score 5 goals.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Yeah.
You so, scored 3 goals away, because was that the game at St Mary's?
Yes, it was.
You scored 3 goals away from home, and you expect to be amongst it, but they were still fairly well beaten.
Yeah, I think England. It was 5-1, and then they got a couple
That's
more.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, Michael Keane was dropped from the squad. I mean, in that game, he looked a bit shaky. It's funny because him and Maguire, I think it is, have started 5 of the, 13 games.
Stuart's like Stone's not been available for all that, though, right?
He has done, yeah, but he still
and
started.
Gomez had a bad injury as well.
Mm. Yeah, you're right. So he was a little bit short there, but I mean, do we worry for Keane? Do we think that he's probably out the squad?
Well, I think he'll probably be all right. I mean, he's going to have a decent career. He's going to have a great life.
In terms of European Championship,
he might not get in there, but that's a testament to how good England are. And also, bringing out like terrible facts, and I'm a bit all over the place because my house has had no water for 24 hours, but that's another story.
Oh dear.
But England, I don't think, have got a player in the squad that was born before 1990.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's an embarrassment of riches. We're talking about Michael Keane, who comes in, he does okay, he has a dodgy-ish game, all of a sudden he's not amongst it. Mm. I mean, because Tomori's comes to 4, or Gomez has come back from injury, or Stones is back. Mm. Yeah, it's a great thing to have. Do I think any of those defenders are kind of top level? No. But they need to play games to get to that level, and they'll get games under Southgate, and that's important. Back in the day, it used to be, you know, back in my day, during the war, it used to just be, you know, it used to be like, right, this back four picks itself. It's never going to change. Mm. It's going to be Ashley Cole. It's probably going to be John Terry. It's going to be Rio Ferdinand or whatever, and it's going to be whoever it is at right back.
I mean, to be fair, that's 3 very strong defenders.
No, it is. I'm not complaining about it. But my final point merely was just going to be, what happens when one of them gets a bad injury?
Well, you get Ledley King in.
Well, you can't get Jamie Carragher in because he's retired, because he's been pissed off. He's never played.
Come on, you're being a bit.
It's a better option.
Of...
It's a better option to have loads of players all fighting for positions.
Yeah, well,
I'm
it
saying.
Is, yeah. But I mean, you know, that era you're talking about is gone now.
Yeah. The golden generation.
Exactly, yeah. What is this? We're in the platinum generation now.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I daren't say. Although, on that, the final is on the 12th of July. So
day before my birthday.
That's excellent. Well, I was going to say, I would imagine there'll be a bank holiday called.
Yeah.
But it's probably worth booking the day off in advance just to celebrate.
Well, either my birthday or Harrison Ford's birthday. You know, celebrate both together.
Yeah.
As the world often does.
Yeah.
You know.
A great man. A very, very great man.
Yeah.
Who's achieved a lot in his career.
Uh-huh.
Very talented.
Here we go.
Harrison Ford.
Exactly, yeah. Of course.
My giddy replicant.
In one film, of course, he was referred to as Junior.
Yeah.
Get it in there. Was there anything else on England that anybody wanted to say? Apart from the obvious of we're on the verge of winning the Euros. Mm. I think we're sort of...
What's more likely, England winning the Euros or Leicester winning the Premier League, do you think, Marcus?
Who knows?
Both on the brink.
Yeah. I think it's time. It's a great cause for excitement. I think people are generally more realistic these days as well, because the world's changed a bit since that golden generation that we've all just referenced. Quote, golden generation, I should say. Yeah. So it's just to be enjoyed and get on with it.
Get on with it, for crying out loud.
Pete's not here to bring a downer to it, so I'm happy with that.
So we have Jim on the emails.
We do.
Wait for it, Jimmy. Wait for it.
I saw you chomping at the bit then, and I thought, you can't do that now. You've got to wait for this. Jim.
Oh, shit.
Sorry, boys. I was a bit late there.
Yeah. There's been one topic of the emails this week.
Can't imagine
so
what it
is. So I'm just going to read 2 highlights from it.
Is it why Joe Gomez is to blame for this? Oh, no. Raheem's not going to play for Liverpool anymore, so that's fine.
It just says boo.
Yeah, okay.
Hi, Ramble. I saw this in the Daily Record. Neil Warnock, 70, wants to become Hart's next boss after leaving Cardiff City, while former England manager Sven-Göran Eriksson would be interested in the director of football position. Marcus is doing, that's from Andy Jenkins, and another one from Graham Jones that simply says, Gordon Bennett's giddy aunt. Over to you, Marcus.
Yes, it's just nice to know that I'm having an influence on the game.
You know what?
I like you didn't put Sven's age.
No, I mean, Sven's sort of ageless, isn't he?
Yeah, he's younger than Neil, though, isn't he?
No, I think he's 70.
Oh, is he?
Have a little look-see.
Okay, I'll have a look. But I was just going to say that, you know, they say Sven's interested in, like, the director of football.
Always assume that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's 71.
There
so.
You go.
Yeah.
Everyone's Sven's interested in everything. Like, if I called Sven, if I somehow got his number and was able to get through to him now and said, and I just said, do you want to do this? And made something up, but it had some kind of financial value involved, he would say yes.
Yeah, of course. The more exotic, the better.
And
you know why that is.
Do you want to go? Do you want to be paid £100,000 to go karting in Thailand? Yes.
Yes.
Do it.
Yeah, but to be fair, I think that's a pretty good offer, isn't it?
It's a great offer.
Yeah.
But why does Sven need to be doing it? If I said that to you, it's absolutely acceptable. You're probably in Thailand anyway.
To be honest,
and you need the money.
I would do a bit more due diligence than Sven might on that. I go, where's the money coming from? Is there a catch?
But I know you wouldn't ask any of those questions.
Where do I sign?
Yeah, you've at the airport, your bag packed.
I'm interested in the director of football. I think he's seen that Neil Warnock. Two men couldn't be further apart in terms of their
culture,
extracurricular activity, way they handle themselves. Warnock is the real salt of the earth type, isn't he? There's no thrills with Warnock. Sven is this sort of kind of interesting sort of, is he a baddie or is he not, helps out James Bond every now and then type character.
Yeah. Tell me more about that. That's good. I like that.
Any other, so in another life, he'd have been friends with the Marquis de Sade, or perhaps would have been the Marquis de Sade.
And
the Scarlet Pimpernel.
And Neil just likes sitting in front of the telly,
exactly.
Tray table out, eating a chop.
Even his chop. Yeah, well, look, I mean, I can't want that to happen any more than anyone can imagine. Hmm. So...
Well, look, if the only emails we've got this week are about Neil Warnock and Sven-Göran Eriksson, we should probably say to our listeners, pull your finger out, show at footballrambledaily.com, send some emails in of stuff you want us to talk about, perhaps. Yeah. Maybe we're just spoiled. How many unread emails have we got in the inbox, Jim?
How many unread emails have we got in the inbox? Let's have a look.
I like it.
13,178, exactly. But let's be honest, not all of them are from actual humans.
No, exactly. we'll start from now, because Pete's not here, he can't stop us.
Yes.
Send emails in now, we'll make sure every single one of them gets read, and we'll read out our favourites, because that's what a traditional email section is.
Yes.
And on that note, I'm going to hit this button now. You email show at footballrambledaily.com. Jim. Well, Jim. Well done, Jim.
Thanks, mate.
For queuing up Marcus for a bit of Sven chat.
Appreciate that, cousin.
And a bit of Warnock and Hearts chat. I mean,
those Gorgie boys need a bit of help, don't they?
Take on the old firm, me. I'll knock them off their perch. All right, let's have a break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway, everybody.
Yeah.
Right then, gentlemen. Teams that have qualified for the Euros so far: Belgium, Italy, Poland, Russia, Spain, Ukraine, Turkey, France, Czech Republic, and England.
Of course.
As we mentioned, Finland are on the brink of qualifying for a major tournament for the first time. They just need to beat Liechtenstein at home on Friday night.
Well, Czech Republic is, just shows you how much of a massive win it was to beat England. Because they wouldn't have expected to win that.
No.
England would have been home and hosed after that game, and Czech Republic would have been on 12 points, so they wouldn't have definitely qualified, and Kosovo would have still been in with a shout. Mm. So that is a massive, massive win for Czech Republic.
But it was. I think England beat them 5-0 at Wembley as well, the Czech Republic. So, yeah, it was a good win. But we'd like to see Finland there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe Pete Donaldson is the good luck charm that they need to get themselves over the line.
Well, I don't remember anyone ahead of when they announced it for 2016, sort of crying out for it to be extended to 2014. But I remember when we were going into Euro 2016, we were saying, look, it's good for teams like Wales, for Republic of Ireland, for whoever it is. And it's also good for teams like Finland, clearly, because they've given themselves a really good chance. And it chimes into exactly what you were saying in the first half, Marcus, which is a lot of smaller nations will have a generation of players every so often. Mm-hmm. And they need to be given the chance to maximise it. Because otherwise, you know, it's just the Jonathan Wilsons of this world will say, you know, the World Cup's too big, the Euro is too big, there's too many dead rubbers. But
I understand his point.
I do as well, but I don't know if I agree with it purely because we want to make it as egalitarian as we can for these smaller teams, and this gives them a good opportunity to do so. Because what we can see, I think, and what you can argue, is if a team like Finland get to the Euros for the first time, it's the first time ever.
Yeah, any major tournament.
Yeah, then that's going to, reasonably, you can expect that to inspire another generation
of
players.
Iceland.
Yeah, so I think that's probably fair that it does do that.
Do you remember when it was Latvia, I think, Marin Pahars played for Latvia?
Yes.
They qualified for the Euros when it was 16 teams.
Right.
It's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, it really is.
They ain't going to qualify this year.
No, they're not.
They've got 0 points.
Yeah, so they will. Group I. Group I.
The eyes to the right.
Cyprus play Scotland on Saturday. Scotland cannot qualify automatically for the Euros, but they will be in the playoffs due to their successful UEFA Nations League campaign. But due to a poor showing in the Nations League, Cyprus cannot reach the playoffs, despite being third and a point above Scotland.
Mm.
It's such
a different tournament, isn't it?
Well, it is. Yeah. It's such a sort of convoluted way. When you look at it, you are at the mercy of the UEFA website, I find, to tell you what is going on.
Cause it's like being a South American football fan.
you're trying to figure out, hang on, are they okay? All right, I'll just, whatever they say on that website, I will. But UEFA could make it all up. They could suddenly award, Scotland the trophy at the end of this, and you go, okay, did they win it? All right,
I don't think that's going to happen.
It's unlikely,
Marcus.
Jim. I'll
try either of those options.
I do agree.
The only thing I'm not clear on off the top of my head is just the seeding system for the playoffs. But I know that the teams that are currently in position to go through to the playoffs. Obviously Scotland are definitely in there because they definitely qualified, but and so I think Georgia, Kosovo and Belarus, I think
that rings a bell.
But there are other teams who are in position to go into the playoffs are Switzerland, Iceland, Bosnia, Wales, Slovakia, Northern Ireland, Norway, Serbia, Bulgaria, Israel, Romania, Albania and North Macedonia. So I don't have it in front of me how it's seeded, but if it isn't seeded, Scotland could get a difficult team there, and they've got to play home and away, then they've got to play a final.
Yeah absolutely, yeah.
But it's exciting. I actually think it's all good.
It's going to be a brilliant little mini tournament, isn't it?
Yeah,
because the playoffs are a mini tournament. It is not a case of, you know, you have eight teams going up against each other, you know, four matches, and the winner of their respective match goes through. You know, it is in its own little tournament.
Do you want to hear about the seedings for it?
Yes,
it's really simple.
Is it?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Go on.
It's really simple. Don't take me a sec.
Far away.
The 16 selected teams will then be allocated paths of four teams. A draw will take place to allocate teams to the different paths, subject to the following conditions. One, group winners cannot form a path with a team for a higher league.
No.
Two, if four or more teams from a league enter the playoffs, a path with four teams from the league in question must be formed. Three, additional conditions may be applied, subject to approval, including seeding principles and the possibility of final tournament hosts having to be drawn to different paths. Right. I mean, I'm pleased I'm not doing this job, because It is absolutely unreal. And you probably get Andy Brassley in here saying, that's easy. It's really simple. It's not simple.
Yeah.
Let's just wait and see what happens.
I was going to say. That's all we can do.
But yeah, they earn their money, don't they?
Basically, do you think it'll get to the point next summer when England, you know, they're in their group and they turn up at Wembley and they just don't know who they're facing?
Yeah.
I think who are we playing today?
I think it's going to get to the point in Euro 2024 where you have to publicly disgrace yourself to not qualify.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to be kicked out of Europe as a nation.
Careful, Jim.
Well, yeah.
Still a sore point.
I mean physically. Yeah. Like sawn off and pushed out to sea.
Again, well, careful, Jim.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know, there is only that little tunnel that connects us.
No, I will not have that tunnel banded around this show. Willy-nilly.
William-nillium.
Yeah, well, Scotland, they host Kazakhstan on Tuesday evening.
You know that line there, Scotland can't qualify automatically for the tournament? Yeah. You just transpose that across every running order?
Yeah. Oh, naughty.
When was it since?
Doug.
96?
98.
98, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, they got the playoffs, of course, lost to England in qualifying for Euro 2000, but yeah, 98 was the last time, which seems mad now, but or does it? I don't know. Then maybe they'll qualify this time.
Mm. Well, they've still got that genetic issue, haven't they?
Little Gordy Strachan, yeah. Well, absolutely. In Group E, Azerbaijan, they host the Welsh on 5 o'clock on Saturday. Now, Wales need to win this one, and then they need to beat Hungary at home. They should beat Azerbaijan away. I understand that no game's a gimme. Bloody, bloody, blah.
Especially not when your manager's Ryan Giggs.
Exactly. If they lose to Azerbaijan, then they're out of contention for automatic qualification. Now, they should, I think, be good enough to get into the playoffs. But again, perhaps we'll leave that there.
Well, yeah, the problem is, I mean, you've been much more positive about Wales' chances than I was last time we had an international break, I remember.
Yes.
Because the last time out, they just dug out a draw at home with Croatia. Said on paper was quite a good result.
Yeah. Giggs himself said that could be a crucial point, and I agree.
And then away from home, of course, before that, they got a draw at Slovakia, didn't they?
Yeah.
So they need to win both these games, is that correct?
Yeah.
So Hungary have been quite decent, that's the problem.
They have, but I think, like I say, if Wales can get, you know, beat Azerbaijan for crying out loud, and then that should, because they need Croatia to do them a favour against Slovakia. And I think Croatia haven't qualified yet.
Well, partly because they only drew in Azerbaijan. They drew 1-1 in Azerbaijan.
Yeah, so it goes to... Yeah, okay, so Azerbaijan are no mugs. But if Croatia beat Slovakia at home, which they would be favourites to do so, not a gimme, of course, then...
They want a favour done there, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. I think if Wales can get themselves in a position where your Tuesday night comes around, beat Hungary and you're there, I honestly think they'd take that.
Yeah.
Because the home crowd will be...
Well, they would now.
They would, yes.
I think as well...
Probably would have done before it started.
I think so. Yeah.
A really huge factor for Wales, though, is that they've got Aaron Ramsey in the squad for the first time in, I think, about a year.
Really?
Bale's there as well, despite nursing some sort of injury. Apparently Real Madrid aren't happy, but when are they?
Despite Ryan Giggs saying
when are they?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah. I mean, people listening to OTC would have heard this yesterday, but Cristiano Ronaldo went and scored how many last night? Two or three?
Three.
Basically completely mugging Sarri off.
Yeah.
And then going and turning up and saying he's happy to start against Lithuania at home purely because he wants to beat the international scoring record.
Absolutely.
He's basically doing what he wants. And Horncastle yesterday was incredulous the fact that there's not even talk of Juventus fining him, even though other players in the squad have done the same thing.
Yeah.
It's outrageous.
When you're the king, you can do anything.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So all to play for Wales. Keep your eyes on that one because that is an interesting group, Groupie. You know, that there's a...
They're all interesting.
They are all interesting. What about Group C, Northern Ireland?
Not interesting.
Against the Netherlands on Saturday night.
That's one of the most interesting ones.
Well,
actually.
Northern Ireland need to win. They need to win. Now, the Netherlands will qualify if they avoid defeat in Belfast, which obviously they'll be the favourites to win that game, so you would expect that to happen. Germany will qualify if they beat Belarus. Again, you'd very much expect Germany to beat Belarus, and Northern Ireland don't beat the Netherlands. So the smart money would suggest that Germany and Netherlands are going to qualify on Saturday night.
Mm.
But we all know that green and white army might have other ideas.
Yeah.
They were so close, so agonisingly close in, was it Amsterdam they played?
Is it Michael O'Neill got another job now, though?
He does,
yeah. Yeah, he's working at a call centre as well.
Yeah, sorry about that, everyone. Ahead of the most important games of the... Yeah, see you later. I'm doing both. Now. You know Michael O'Neill's middle name's Martin?
And
Martin O'Neill's middle name's Michael.
No, it isn't.
That's magnificent.
That is magnificent, to be fair.
Then will that help them? Tune in and find out.
Probably not.
Trying to avoid defeat.
But yeah,
Difficult.
I mean, if Northern Ireland, if they can get a point and they keep themselves alive.
I mean more because the Dutch have defeat
Right, Jim. Okay.
He's got loads of feet.
Well, Northern...
I've been trying to think of a pun for that for about 2 minutes, and it's not worked.
That's all right.
But I regret. They can't all be winners, can they?
Are you okay, mate?
It's a bit early.
He's up and come again, bruv. Now, Northern Ireland. If they can get some sort of result against the Netherlands, then that all they need to do after that is go away to Germany on Tuesday night and get something there as well.
I didn't know what they were. Yeah. Were they?
But
they've done all they can. They won the four games before playing Netherlands and Germany.
This group's gone to form completely because Northern Ireland have done exactly what you expect them to do against Belarus and Estonia. Yeah. Germany and Netherlands have exchanged absolute ding-dong affairs, which has been great. Yeah. And now Northern Ireland have faced the two toughest games. I think when the draw was made, seeing the order of the games as they came, they probably would have taken this.
I think they would,
because they wouldn't want to play them first.
No.
That comes into play massively in the tournament itself.
Yes.
When you're in a group with three other teams and you think you've got a real pot one difficult game, you don't want that first.
Yeah.
You lose all your momentum.
Totally, yeah. It was a shame because I think we were on stage in Bournemouth when Northern Ireland were away to the Netherlands, and there was a Northern Irish.
They won that one, though.
Yeah, I think we certainly won all in the last sort of few minutes or whatever it was. Netherlands scored a couple of goals, but there was a Northern Irish lad in the audience and are looking at the result going, we could be having a little song and a dance with this fella in a minute here, but of course it wasn't to be, which is a shame.
Yeah, and we had to think of our own content.
We certainly did.
Made it even harder.
Group D, Ireland, Denmark on Monday. That's the big one. The Irish beat New Zealand in a friendly 3-1. Ireland not involved in the first round of qualifying fixtures in this international break.
They've played a game more, haven't they? That's why.
They have, yes. Yeah. But they cannot qualify or be eliminated from qualifying until next week, until that game against Denmark on Monday night, of course. And they'll almost certainly have to beat Denmark at home to qualify. But again, though, with that group, some decent opposition in there. If you set it up and say, right, you need to beat Denmark at home on the last fixture, then I think they probably would have taken that.
It's a funny one, isn't it? Because there's obviously echoes of the World Cup qualification when they were, was it 5-1?
Well, that was a playoff.
They got pumped in the playoff,
I think, they lost 2-1 away from home, did they? Or maybe 1-0 by the odd goal, and then they were hammered.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Does that fill you with dread, or does it give you a chance to sort of, you know, set the record bloody straight?
Exercise those Danish demons.
I'll tell you what's a good thing, the fact that Christian Eriksen looks like he never wants to play football again.
Yeah.
That's a deal. Because he's top scorer in the group.
He took them apart in Dublin last time.
He's perfectly capable of doing that, but he doesn't want to play.
No.
I mean, he's all over the place. I don't think he even got on the pitch last week, did he? So, given that has been one of Spurs' best players, a player that's probably as much as anyone else defined this Pochettino Spurs era, he can't even get on the pitch because of this contract issue or whatever it is. So, that's going to play into their hands. It can't be a good thing because people will say, oh, he's fresh. Players want to be playing football. So, that's a good thing. But you're right, it's a big ask for them, particularly at what's gone on in recent history. And also, but the other thing is that Switzerland play Georgia, I think. And you want Switzerland to not win in this situation if you're a Republic of Ireland fan. Georgia have been okay. They've picked up a couple of wins. So you never know what could happen elsewhere.
Well, when I say these scenarios, you're sort of going on the favourites for each match, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So I think they've got a bit of an easy one as well. I forget who it is, Gibraltar maybe, on Monday night. So I think, if...
I noticed that Georgia's two wins came against Gibraltar, one of which was a 3-2 scraper.
There
so
you are.
Maybe it's
a
not
scraper. So I think again, Ireland and Wales on Monday night, if the Irish need to win and they're through, lovely old job. And then Welsh on the Tuesday night. That would be a scenario, I think, that both managers would have taken. I mean, we want to see big Mikko McCarthy at the Championship.
100%. It's exciting because people complain about international football because it disrupts the momentum of our domestic leagues. But now it's interesting. I mean, even people who pretend not to like international football can like it now because it's coming to the business end.
Yeah, and there's all these little narratives are starting to pop up, like the Iceland and Turkey game, or Turkey and Iceland game. Obviously, Turkey qualified after they drew 0-0. But do you remember the whole thing with the game in Iceland, where the Turkish players were detained for ages, and then when somebody was given a TV interview about it from the Turkish Football Association, an Icelandic journalist held up like a sort of... like a washing up brush, pretending it was a microphone, like to just undermine the whole. He's absolutely mad. So I imagine that was quite a hostile reception.
Yeah.
And before we move on, that's weird.
It's mad, isn't it?
Before we move on to Four to Score, don't forget to tune in this Sunday to Pete Donaldson's explainer of how the seeding for the playoffs works. ahead of the Euros. It's definitely not one to be missed.
Yeah.
Betway's Forward to Score. Each week, obviously, we're participating in Forward to Score, and International Week is no different. It's a chance to win a huge prize for charity, and Forward to Score entry with Betway is absolutely free. All you need to do is pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches each round, and if you're correct, you can win up to £250,000 this week, because it's rolled over and no one wants it.
No one wants it.
Head to betway.com/4to-score. That's slash the number 4 and then to score, and make sure your selections are submitted before the first game, and further T's and C's apply. Jim, your game is Russia v Belgium.
It is. I was initially thinking Eden Hazard would be the obvious choice for this, given that obviously he's got a lot of goals for Belgium. But based on form, I've actually gone for Dries Mertens. Dries's pieces, I've been impressed with Dries's pieces. He's scored 7 goals for Napoli already this season, so I figure he might be a good shout to carry that form.
He's not
over.
Got many for Belgium. He's played a lot, but he's not got a lot of goals, so maybe you'll break that duck now. Pete Donaldson, I picked Pete's because no one knows where he is. It's Northern Ireland v Netherlands, and I went for Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah,
because
set pieces.
And when I told Pete about this, he was upset about it. Mm. I just messaged him, and he replied saying, "Oh, laughing emoji, why have you given me Virgil van Dijk?" As you rightly said, Marcus, set pieces. Mm-hmm. I can see Northern Ireland making it quite difficult for Netherlands. Mm-hmm. Netherlands make the breakthrough for a set piece. Who's most likely to score from a set piece?
Virge.
Probably not, but he's up there.
Yeah.
He's up there. So Virgil van Dijk for that
on
one.
The verge.
My game is Israel v Poland. I've gone for the rich man's Harry Kane, Robert Lewandowski, to score. It's just a no-brainer. Oh, I mean, yeah. I couldn't pick it. I couldn't sleep at night because I've got a lot of jet lag at the moment. But otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to sleep at night had I not picked Robert Lewandowski
on Ronnie Rosenthal.
Yeah, could have gone for him. Yeah. Yossi Benayoun.
Indeed. Croatia versus Slovakia, I went for Bruno Petkovic.
Yes, exactly.
Big Bruno. He's not played that man. I think he's only about 7 caps, but 4 goals. He's scoring goals.
He's top scorer in that group, I think.
He is, yeah.
So that's our 4 to score. Dries Mertens, Virgil van Dijk, Robert Lewandowski and Bruno Petkovic. If all those 4 score first, we win a share at least of £250,000, which we will have to give to charity, which will be quite galling, if I'm honest.
It will.
But let's see. So go over to betway.com/4to-score to play. It's completely free. Do bet the responsible way.
Right, little lady. Ladies and gentlemen, now it's time for Luke's game. So he's on,
and the time that's still relevant.
Yeah, yeah,
time
yeah.
for you to play your game. Yes. You two are coming. Yeah.
Wait, well, no way. Trying to be the best that they can.
To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all playing
Luke's game.
Yeah, it's Luke's game. So those who aren't fully across what Luke's game is, I give the guys a player and they have to auction and bid how many of the clubs they can name. They have to outdo each other, or they can say name the amount of clubs. It's normally quite controversial. Marcus, I can tell, has been really looking forward to it. You have, haven't you? You like this game, don't you?
I like this game.
He's good at this game.
Yeah.
And good at going for goal as well, to be fair.
Jim also plays a very, very defensive style.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a very sort of Catenaccio.
Jim's just like, name them.
Jim's like, in going for goal, he's like, Germany in the 1990s, very ruthless.
Yeah, yeah. He is.
I've not been so good this season, but I don't know if you saw tweeted a little while ago, 100% of the correct picks for 4 to score have been from me.
Wow, it's amazing.
Yeah. Well done, Jimmy.
That's very good.
Yeah.
How many is that? One.
One. <Yeah.
laughs> I'll tell you something, in our live shows, people were getting the going for gold.
Yeah, they were. It was impressive, actually.
You big nerds.
It's almost a bit like we had a pool of 400 people rather than 3.
No, but in previous live shows, Pete's hoodwinked them further.
Is going for goal getting easier, Andy?
Well,
anyway, Luke's game. Here we go. So the first player, I hope I've made it clear. If I haven't made it that clear, it will become very clear when we start playing. So the first player, I think I tried to work this out yesterday, but I can't remember who won last time. So what I'll do is I will get you to pick a hand, Marcus, to see who goes first.
Left okay? hand?
Left. Well, don't say, yeah, I haven't done it.
Oh.
No, just pick a hand.
Right hand.
So that's the pen lid, so that means you go first.
Oh, okay. All right.
The first player...
That's the pen lid.
Yeah. I'm just telling listeners. The first player is Juan Sebastian Verón.
Oh, good.
Ooh.
So you need to name as many... You need to tell me the number of teams that he's played for you can name. So make a bid.
4.
Okay, Jim, would you like to advance on 4?
No, can I
you said 4, I'm afraid. Okay. You come back in a minute.
I can definitely do 4. So, yeah, I will. I'll go for 5.
You want 6, Marcus?
I'll go for 6.
Jim, do you want 7?
I don't think I can do 7.
Then say the words.
What are the words again?
Name them.
Okay.
So you want 6?
Yeah.
Okay, so go slowly, because I need to tell you to tick them off.
Chelsea.
Correct.
Manchester United.
Correct.
Inter.
Correct.
Parma.
Correct.
Lazio.
Correct.
Estudiantes.
Correct.
Thank you very much.
That's six.
Yeah, very good.
Well done, Marcus.
Any more? He must have played for loads of clubs.
Little fact for you, he played for Estudiantes on no less than five occasions. but it's how many different clubs he played for. The ones you didn't mention, Boca Juniors, Sampdoria, Brandson is the other one.
Is that Richard Brandson's
team? I don't know who they are. So that's one to Marcus. Let me just make a note of that.
Do you know what? I forgot completely about Sampdoria. I knew he played for River or Boca, but I couldn't remember which one.
Yeah, he played for Boca.
Hey, come on, that's a strong start.
It's a great start, Marcus.
Right.
I haven't got a jingle until you win, so you're going to have to just wait. Trust me, it's a strong start.
You hear that, Jim? I've got to wait.
Yeah, until you win. The annoying thing is I just agree with that.
I can't find the jingle.
Don't worry about that. You can sing it.
All right, next up, Jim, you're first this time, my friend, and your player to start with is Ida Gudjonsson.
Oh, God. Wow.
And he's played for 15 clubs.
Bloody
15
Nora.
Clubs. So take your pick. If you can't name all these, you must be a
friend. That's so bad, because when you say...
If you can't name all of these.
When you say Ida Gudjonsson, I'm thinking, oh, he's played for a few, probably about 15.
Yeah, it's 15 clubs from 1994 to 2016. And if you name the club he started at, I'll give you the money myself.
Yeah, I won't be able to do that. I think I can only go for four there.
Play along at home. Play along at home.
What are you thinking, Marcus?
No, don't tell
me. As if I'm going to tell you.
He's 1-0 up, Jim. You've got to go hard here.
I'm not even sure one of the ones I've got is right.
Yeah, that's the trouble.
Oh, by the way, for people who aren't across the game, if you get a team wrong, you automatically lose the point.
Yeah, you're dead.
Yeah.
I'm going to go four.
Four. Marcus.
Oh, dear. Well, name them.
All right. It's defensive play for Marcus.
It is defensive play.
A change of tactics. So, Jim, you've got to name four Ida Gudjonsson clubs. Go.
Okay, so Chelsea.
Correct.
Barcelona.
Correct.
Bolton Wanderers.
Correct.
Birmingham City?
Oh, you've dropped it there.
Oh, no.
Gutted. Marcus, you're 2-0 up.
There we are. Do you know what? When you got those first three, and I thought, yep, that's exactly what I was doing. After that, struggling.
Wow, amazing. Marcus, you win 2-0, but unfortunately, I can't find the jingle because Pete's not told me where it is. So,
not to worry.
I'll just press one of them at random.
Can we hear who the other clubs
you
were?
You can in a minute. You may be able to can. There you go.
What on earth? Like, we know that Pete is part internet, so the thing is going through an iPad that he's programmed. It's like going through his mind, isn't it?
Do you want to? I'll just try and give you another one if you want.
Yeah.
All right, hang on. Something else. Yeah, anyway,
right, well,
Marcus, you win 2-0. So, but it's 15 clubs in total. Valur is where he started. Valur.
Oh.
You could have had PSV. You could have had KR Reykjavik. You could have gone for Monaco. You could have had a loan move to Spurs.
Ooh.
You could have had Stoke City and Fulham.
Yes.
You could have had AEK
Fulham,
Athens.
Bloody hell, I should have got that.
You could have had both Brugge Club, Circle and Club. And you could have had Shang Zhuang Everbright. And he finished his career at Mulder. Would you like to have, we've got a bit of time, would you like to have a go at Darren Huckabee?
Yeah,
the final one?
Yeah, defo.
You're 2-0, you're going for the clean sweep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Darren Huckabee, he's played for 9 clubs. Marcus, it's on you. How many can you name?
I can name 4.
Okay, Jim?
Name them.
Yeah.
Go, name them.
Norwich.
Correct.
Coventry City.
Correct.
Oh, who was the team? I want to say he was definitely in a major league soccer side.
Yes.
He scored the best goal ever, didn't he,
that's
according
right.
to the internet?
Oh, but I can't remember. It might have been a Canadian side. Who else? Was he on Manchester United's books?
Are you saying Manchester United's a team or not?
All right, I'll say Birmingham City.
Incorrect.
Is that incorrect?
Jim wins.
That's frustrating. Was he at Man United?
You know, I can't wait to get out of them, if I'm honest.
Was he on Manchester United's books?
Were you also at Leeds for a bit?
I only list professional clubs he made an appearance for.
Vancouver Whitecaps, was it?
No, San Jose Earthquakes.
Okay.
Norwich City is correct. Nottingham Forest he played for. Man City, Leeds, Coventry, as you said, Millwall, Newcastle United, and he started his career at Lincoln City.
Man City was
late own goal from you.
Yeah. Oh, well, not to worry.
Not to worry, indeed.
2-0. So, he's on.
Luke. It's time for you, what you'd have been. Luke. People are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high, we're all going for gold. Hello, all
God.
Marcus wins 2-1.
It was extraordinary.
I think we can all agree with that.
We certainly can, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Of course, myself and Jonathan Wilson will be back tomorrow for the Greatest Games podcast. Get your ear holes around that. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye, Luke Moore.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.